Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 23 at 18,116. The S&P 500 Index down a fraction at 2,109. NASDAQ Composite up 5 at 4,960. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 7 basis points at 2.06%. Oil down $1.36 at $49.45 per barrel. Gold down $2.10 at $1,202.80 per ounce. Silver up 5 cents at $16.42. The S&P 500 up 0.6% last week to finish at record highs. It was the third record high of the year. The Dow rose to its first record of the year, and the NASDAQ Composite closed at its highest level since March 2000, getting closer to 5,000 level. The Russell 2000 Index was up 0.7%, also ending at a record on Friday. Much of the stock market action over the past week has followed news of a compromise with Greece. At last week's meetings, Greece signed up to all the conditions of its current bailout package and to continued international oversight, provided the Greeks come up with a list of reforms. Easier said than done. Any reforms have to be acceptable to the Troika, the IMF, the ECB, and the EU, and subject to approval by all EU members. And at the same time, it will have to be acceptable to Greeks who voted against the austerity plans of the Troika. The plan was supposed to be presented today. That didn't happen. Now the Greeks say they will present the reforms tomorrow. Given that Monday night was treated as a hard deadline for getting the Greek proposals in, Finance Minister Yanis Varoufakis prudently turned in a draft a day earlier. Apparently, that early draft did not satisfy the Troika or the ECB or somebody. Nearly a week after a ceasefire was supposed to have gone into effect in Ukraine, Secretary of State John Kerry said over the weekend that he and his British counterpart Philip Hammond would discuss additional sanctions in response to Russia's brazen violations of the agreement. Russia's credit rating was cut to below investment grade by Moody's Investors Service on Friday, joining Standard & Poor's in ranking the country's debt as junk. Federal Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen will testify before Congress on Tuesday and Wednesday. The semi-annual trek to Capitol Hill for the Humphrey Hawkins testimony. Yellen will likely have to deal with questions on the timing of possible interest rate hikes, the strength of the dollar, the overall strength of the economy, and also efforts to audit the Fed. The minutes from the Fed's FOMC meeting in January indicated that there was no rush to raise rates, but don't be surprised if Yellen floats a trial balloon with the politicians and talks up the strengths of the economy, pointing the way to higher rates. Any hawkish sentiment from Yellen would likely lead to a stronger dollar, but the bigger question is how it might affect the stock and bond markets. If the reaction is negative, it should be fairly easy for the Fed to walk back any particular statement from Yellen, certainly easier than walking back an official Fed statement. The National Association of Realtors reports existing home sales declined 4.9% in January to an annual rate of 4.8 million units. It's the lowest level in 9 months. Sales fell in all four regions. Tight inventories are hurting sales by limiting the selection of houses available to potential buyers. The lack of supply is also keeping house prices elevated, helping to sideline first-time buyers from the market. Last month, the inventory of unsold homes on the market slipped 0.5% from a year ago to 1.87 million. It was the second straight year-on-year decline. Shrinking supply pushed the median price up by 6.2% in January to $199,600 from a year ago. This week brings a lot for investors to chew on, including several retailer earnings that should provide some clues about consumer spending, including Home Depot and Lowe's, as well as Target, Gap stores, Kohl's, and Dollar Tree. This group will basically close out the earnings season. Presently, P.E. ratios are exhibiting levels not seen since 2004. The forward P.E. ratio for the S&P 500 is 17.1, well above 5, 10, and 15-year averages, that according to Reuters. At the same time, more than 80% of profit forecast from the S&P 500 fall below the Wall Street consensus, and earnings are expected to see their first quarterly year-on-year decline since the end of the recession. Falling energy prices continue to weigh on inflation. Labor Department releases its Consumer Price Index report Thursday. Economists expect a steep 0.7% drop in the January CPI. If that's the case, yearly inflation could turn into deflation, with the CPI down about 0.2% from a year ago. The core CPI, which excludes food and energy, expected to be up slightly in January over December and higher than a year ago. The Commerce Department releases its second reading of the fourth quarter's gross domestic product on Friday. Economists expect the growth rate to be revised down to an annual rate of 2.1% from the current estimate of 2.6%. One source of the downward revision will be inventories. Monthly data on inventory gains have come in weaker than commerce expected. That's a mixed reading for the outlook. Businesses aren't dealing with an overhang of too much merchandise, but low inventories are more likely the result of West Coast port troubles. West Coast ports are working at full speed again. After operations resumed over the weekend, the International Longshore and Warehouse Union and the Pacific Maritime Association, which represents the employers, they came to a tentative agreement on a new 5-year labor contract late Friday, but the contract still must be ratified by members, and it will still take some time, maybe a couple of months, to work through the backlog. The largest U.S. refinery strike in 35 years entered its fourth week as workers at 12 refineries, accounting for one-fifth of national production capacity, were walking picket lines over the weekend. A total of 6,550 members of the United Steelworkers Union at 15 plants, including the 12 refineries, are involved in the work stoppage that began February 1st, when talks for a new 3-year contract between the USW and lead oil company negotiator Shell Oil stopped. Talks were resumed but have been halted again after nearly reaching an agreement on Friday. Meanwhile, the price of oil was down again, and OPEC is worried. Today there were rumors floating that OPEC would call an emergency session to deal with low prices. For now, nothing is scheduled, but OPEC says a meeting is possible in the next month or so. Funding for the Department of Homeland Security is likely to lapse because of a failure of Congress to pass new funding for the agency by a looming deadline on Friday. White House spokesman Josh Ernst said there is still hope for a last-minute deal. Funding for the agency is embroiled in a fight with the Republican-controlled Congress over President Obama's executive orders on immigration. At the same time, and I'm sure this is purely coincidental, a video has surfaced from a Somali-based terrorist group basically threatening shopping malls in the U.S., such as the Mall of America in Minnesota. Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson said security at the mall would be enhanced in ways that were both visible and not visible to the public, and called for shoppers to be vigilant. So what happens if Department of Homeland Security actually shuts down after midnight on Friday? Well, most employees stay on the job without pay. The department has about 230,000 employees, most of whom would be deemed essential, and they would keep working without pay. Members of the Coast Guard, like Border Patrol agents, would be required to report to work. But the DHS says certain patrols and facility inspections would need to be cut back. Nearly $1 billion in acquisition and maintenance contracts would be deferred, and 6,000 civilians who work for the Coast Guard would be furloughed. neither enlisted men and women nor civilians would be paid. E-Verify, which allows employers to check immigration status of their employees, would not be available for the duration of a shutdown. HSBC, the British bank, reporting that profits fell 17% to $18.7 billion in 2014. That's down from $22.6 billion the year before, below the average forecast of $21 billion. The bank, which faced a significant number of fines and settlements last year, also cut its target for return on equity to more than 10% from a previous target of more than 12%, and HSBC responded to a report that CEO Stuart Gulliver held a Swiss bank account, saying he declared all his earnings to UK tax authorities. Apple has announced its largest European investment ever, a 1.7 billion euro plan to build and operate two data centers in Ireland and Denmark that will power its online services for customers across the continent. Like all Apple data centers, the two 166,000 square meter facilities will run entirely on clean, renewable energy sources, and they're expected to begin operations in 2017. Investment advisors should act in their customers' best interest. Right now, only some advisors are fiduciaries, required to put their clients' needs first, while many brokers and advisors need only to recommend suitable financial products. The White House has introduced a plan to change that, and you should not be surprised that the financial industry is fighting the plan. The Labor Department planned to send the proposal on Monday to the Office of Management and Budget for review, and details of the proposal probably won't be finalized for a few months. At the heart of the proposal is an effort to tighten the legal standards for brokers handling retirement funds in individual retirement accounts and 401ks, which now hold more than $11 trillion. It's estimated that investors lose more than $17 billion a year to hidden fees, high commissions, and conflicted advice. Birdman won the Academy Award for Best Picture and Best Director. Eddie Redmayne captured the Best Actor Award for his portrayal of Stephen Hawking. Julianne Moore won the award for Best Actress for her role in Still Alice. If you aren't familiar with the winners, don't feel bad. Seven of the eight Best Picture nominees were produced independently. Birdman pulled in only $74 million in worldwide box office. The good news is that Hollywood is still making films that are not all based on comic book characters. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog is eatthebankers.com.